What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
Joel, it has been a crazy week. It's WrestleMania season. Rumors has never been put into bolder text ever. The word fake news is almost coming into wrestling with some rumors that have happened the last few days here. Let's start with a story that has been bubbling under the surface for the last almost month now, and that is the steroid case that could cripple the WWE before WrestleMania, that had Roman Reigns linked, and it has other superstars linked. You have a lot of the information on this, so take it away, Joel.
So basically what happened was this guy, this filmmaker, John Bravo, had come out and said that there was a guy that had information on a steroid scandal. He got busted by the U.S. government, and they were coming down on him, and he named three names of key guys that were purchasing performance-enhancing drugs from him. One of them was Mark Wahlberg. One of them was Josh Duhamel, who you might remember was on SmackDown last night.
Yeah.
And the other name was Roman Reigns. And now when you and me first heard this, we didn't think much of it because we were thinking, it's just a dirt sheet. It's someone looking for their 15 minutes of fame and decides to throw wrestling into this.
Yeah.
There's no evidence to this. And this has been going on for, I want to say, about a month and a half, 2 months at the most, that we've known about this. But nothing ever really came from it from Meltzer, Pollock, or anyone. Roman came out and emphatically denied he never knew who the guy was. All of this was hogwash, and that was it. So we were like, okay, well, Roman says no, and we are just going to carry on. And we know the coronation of Roman Reigns is coming, so cool. And then it was like a cockroach. It just kind of kept popping up every once in a while. And it was, this guy would release different facts and different things. And then I think it was this week that Meltzer said on the Wrestling Observer Radio that he thinks that this is probably true, but this that they'll only have the records from 2016 backwards, nothing up to 2017 and not anything up for this year. So, and he's also mentioned that there are several other WWE superstars, both past and present, that are linked to this. That there's even someone that bought $200,000 worth of performance-enhancing drugs from this fellow. And now we are sitting here waiting. It is currently 21:03 Mountain Time in Calgary. No video has been released yet. He said he was going to release a video naming names. But John Bravo, the filmmaker, had said that they were cross-referencing everything to make sure that everything was authenticated, correct, accurate, no lies to them. And then that would get released. We tried to hold off and kind of wait and see if we could get that. And
we did, yeah.
Yeah, but unfortunately, as of this time, we haven't. If it does pop up, obviously, that's going to change this podcast slightly. But right now we are sitting and waiting to see what happens and if anything comes of this.
Yes.
Because that's a big thing. Now I want to preference that anything we talk about, whether it's the main event to WrestleMania, what could potentially happen to Roman, Brock, who's also been implicated in this, and any other number of performers that could be involved in this is either purely speculation or just us kind of spitting out loud of what ramifications this could or could not lead to. As of right now, none of this is proven. None of this is solid 100% fact. That obviously will come from either Dave Meltzer, John Pollock, or Mike Johnson, or Ryan Satin, or a number of different people that are have more inroads with professional wrestling than either you or I have.
Definitely, yeah.
So just want to preference that. I don't want you listening to this, hearing something and going, well, they said this, I wonder if it's true. And then when you find out it's not true, oh, those guys are making stuff up. We're not making anything up. We're speculating a little bit. We're talking and we're were very interested where this goes. Because, like I said, you and me had talked about it, and we said nothing was going to come of it. And now, it was Dave Meltzer that reported this, correct? That Braun Strowman is the backup for both Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns as we head into WrestleMania?
Yeah, there's a lot of story with that that we're going to get involved with. That. So first of all, like Joel said, we can't get into speculation of what names are which. You know, you can think about a variety of things. So we're not going to say, oh, I think this guy did it, or I think this guy did it. Because just as journalists and as people that want to be more wrestling journalists, we know it's foolish, just even from what we've learned in school, to not speculate on names. So we're not going to spit out names that we think are connected to this. We know Roman Reigns was one of the names connected. We know that Brock Lesnar failed the USADA test a few years ago and that he has been possibly linked to this as well. So those are the two names we have. The big implications are obviously a lot of names that could be announced and could affect WrestleMania. And then the other big implication in this is that how it affects the wellness policy and how legitimate the wellness policy is.
Yeah, that's the other big thing. And that's something that they've even mentioned, this John Bravo, that they were going to poke holes through the wellness policy. And we've always talked that there's certain people that are exempt from that wellness policy that, you know, it's very curious how they can kind of skirt by.
Yes, and we've had situations. Eva Marie, 2 years ago, she was suspended for 30 days for what her husband said was a drug that she needed. It was just like, I can't remember what it was, but it was something that she had a prescription for and that she needed, and that they went to the WWE about it, and that was proven that they just didn't, according to Jonathan, I don't know what his last name is, that they just didn't do a thorough enough testing. Same with Paige for one of the infractions. She claimed there was something that was a prescription that she needed. And other times we look at Brock Lesnar, and I'm not saying, you know, I don't know the wellness policy well enough, but Eva seemed to think, and her husband seemed to think, that they had enough proof to prove the wellness policy wrong. Well, Paige actually, one of them, she just missed the testing, which was just dumb. But we're not going to get into the dumbness of Paige. That goes as far as the tattoo this week, and we'll leave it at that. But we look at Brock, who failed USADA test, which is one of the number one drug tests in the world, and we found that out with John Jones stuff this week. And he never got suspended, nothing. The worst thing that happened to him is he was like the number three pick by Raw in the draft.
Yeah.
So, and then we found out in that part-timers don't get tested. And so that means that, and we're not, again, I'm not speculating by names, but these are the athletes that were under it. That means people like The Rock, Triple H, Brock Lesnar, and now John Cena are under that guy, but they don't get tested because they're part-time performers.
Yeah.
I don't know where, and that's where, what did Roman get busted for the first time? And how legitimate is that?
Yeah.
And who, and like, what was the Roman one for originally? What was it? Like, it was some kind of
Adderall.
Adderall, yeah, something like that.
So, and he was suspended. He kind of got thrown in mid-card hell there for a little bit, and then he rebounded just fine.
Yeah. So, and he got back just in time for a triple threat match that they were having. So it's very interesting, though, as I have my rambles here, that the wellness policy is something that's interesting. We don't know where these are being dealt. There had been rumors and speculation that a lot of these things happen in Florida. And if that is the case, again, we don't know. These are rumors and speculation, and I have to hit that in bold capitals, that this could have happened in Florida. And if that happened in Florida, NXT just happens to be in Florida, and then maybe we'll make a connection there. Again, that's just trying to link things up as we go forward. That's speculation. That's rumors. Not trying to get into that side, but it's interesting as we wait for these names where Joel and I are thinking these certain dots could connect and just be a big disaster for the company going into the biggest season of the year when the stock also, Joel, is at an all-time high.
Not only is the stock at an all-time high, but my question to you is, how does this impact the XFL?
Yeah, so we look at the NFL and the ratings are dropping. We saw Papa John's leave the NFL this week because of the ratings and some of the stuff going around it. And so there's a lot of contributing factors into that. So obviously the Anthem stuff was a big part of it this year. Concussions are a huge part of it. But also the rapid use of steroid speculation is a third one at the back of those, but it's something that can hurt it. And especially Vince has been trying to do his best job to disconnect the WWE from the XFL this time around. During that press conference, he did a very masterful job of saying, like, no, the WWE will not be connected to the XFL, because that was one of the criticisms that a Sports Illustrated writer from ESPN, the Sporting News, whatever, had about the XFL previously. And if you have this giant steroid scandal in your one company, it's going to lend itself to the other one via the reports, obviously.
Yeah.
Not a great start. Not a great start to have your main baby be responsible for all this. And you almost have to wonder, they seem to be cool and calm about it right now, because Roman ended up winning on Sunday at Elimination Chamber. And then the other guy that was in it, there's three guys that have been named. Josh Duhamel just happens to be on SmackDown, which was just weird and coincidental, but it was weird nonetheless that Josh Duhamel was. And he's been on TV previously promoting the Transformer movies. I think last summer he was on. He's a big fan. Mark Wahlberg, in all of this, it's very interesting. When asked by TMZ, why are you not suing this guy? Because it's slander, right? He's dragging your name through the mud. You can sue him for slander. And he says, I don't want to give this guy any more attention. Which is weird to me, Joel. It's very weird. Why would you not just put a cease and desist on this guy? If it's not true, why do you have a problem with that?
Yeah.
Same with Roman Reigns. This guy's dragging you through the mud. Why don't you just put a cease and desist on it?
That is... See, and that's the thing. That's where I'm very interested. Because it's... It should be an easy... It should be really easy to hit. It should be a really easy thing to do. Just, no, not going to have any of it, and shut it down. But
yeah.
It's almost like, I hope this goes away. So, I don't know. This is a very, very interesting topic. It's very interesting. As a whole, this is very interesting.
Because it's not
something that's we can look at now and kind of fluff under now. It's something that's gained some life to it.
It has. And it's very reminiscent of when the wellness policy kind of came into effect, and you had that big list of names from the prescriptions with Edge's name and Randy Orton's. I think Rey Mysterio was on that. John Morrison was on that. And you kind of go back to 93 during the big steroid case. We had Davey Boy and Hogan, and Hogan went to court with Vince and all this on it. And now we see the names on this, and you've got to wonder, who are the names going to be? Again, we're not going to speculate on the names. Who are these names going to be? And how's it going to affect WrestleMania? Is it going to be a big enough scandal that the ESPNs, and that's a question too that you and I said, that when ESPN went in bed with WWE, the question always was, when the tide turned, will they be able to report negatively on the company? And that's the big question I'm interested to see, because they haven't done anything on this yet. If you want to cover WWE like it's a legitimate sport, then when this breaks, whenever it breaks this week, you need to cover it the same way as if this had happened in baseball or football or whatever.
Yeah.
So we wait to see that. It's a very interesting storyline, and it's real life. And we see with the report from Dave Meltzer that it's being reported now that Braun Strowman is kind of being used as a backup plan if either one of these guys go astray.
That makes me wonder, why would you have a backup plan?
Obviously because you're a little worried about what's going to happen, it seems like. And, you know, there's rumors today that Braun's going to be part of this IC title match, a six-pack challenge, five-pack challenge, whatever it is. So we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. It's a very interesting thing, and we keep on thinking the ball's going to drop. You mean going into Elimination Chamber, stuff started bubbling up a little bit more. Roman won. Now we're seeing this happen. I don't know. They're obviously know enough, the company does, and they have some of the best lawyers that WWE does, that if they were really scared about it, I think they probably would have acted on it already, but we'll have to see when this video drops.
Yeah, because this could definitely change, this could really impact the road to WrestleMania. This could change the whole structure of the card. But not only could it change the whole structure of the card, but it could impact mid-card to lower card, because we always focus on that main event, and we're going to focus on the names that are circulating around right now, which is Roman and Brock. Mm-hmm. Brock hasn't been pointed at right away. That's one thing I'd like to preference. But the big thing right now is, how does this impact the lower to mid-card guys? The guys just on the bubble for the main event. What happens? And I don't want to name any other names, because then that's how you create problems for yourself. But there's other guys down below that you could speculate and wonder if they kind of look a little too jacked and a little too ripped and a little too, hey, how did they turn that around so quick? So I certainly don't know who it is, but this could rip apart your mid card. This could rip apart your main event. This could be the WrestleMania that we remember that gets absolutely torn to shreds because of this. Something that, to be honest, I put no stock in, because it seemed kind of weird the way it came out. And there's still things that could be wrong with this, and there could still be, this could all be a bunch of tomfoolery, and nothing more will ever come of this. This will be something we'll look back on and go, oh yeah, you remember that? Yeah, I do too. Meh. It meant nothing. So, but it could also, it really and truly, it's either going to be a thing that hurts WWE or is just a drop in the bucket of speculation and rumor.
Yeah, and so we take all of that and we'll bottle it right now. Like you said, it's 9:18 Mountain Time. We'll see where we are by the end of this. There's just too much speculation, but it's something that has been bubbling, and it continues to bubble, and it's just not going away. So let's continue with Roman and Brock, and we'll just assume right now that is the Mania main event. And Roman, well, he had a shoot, brother, but it was a work shoot, and that was another thing where you and I were like, that was interesting, just because Brock Lesnar, on the day of Elimination Chamber, happened to have a selfie with Dana White, started some speculation, got people interested, and people just kind of thought Dana was trolling. Roman drops that he shot a selfie with Dana White in his promo, and that he wasn't there. And then the speculation started of flashbacks to a few years ago when Brock legit did hold the company up on his contract and said he was going to go to UFC, and he ended up walking out. We didn't know what was going on, if this was true or not. It kind of brought back memories for me, at least, of when Stone Cold took his ball and went home, and The Rock cut that big season promo on him. And then we start hearing all kind of conflicting reports. Oh, Brock was never supposed to be there, but then there's some people saying that he was written out of the script in the last 20 minutes. So even that now has kind of gone back and forth. I believe that it was just a work shoot, but they've left some self-doubt in, and maybe they're keeping a tighter lip on talking to the Pollocks and the Meltzers of the world right now. I don't know. But at the end of the day, without any speculation of what's going on with Brock and his contract, Roman Reigns' best promo of his entire career.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. It definitely was done to build Roman up. They need to kind of get Roman going again. And this was a good way to do it. This is a nice, good first step in this program that we've already seen once before. Now, the thing is, the follow-up. What's the Heyman promo, and what does Roman do next? This is a great moment. But the crowd didn't turn instantly for Roman, and everyone's like, I love Roman Reigns. I want to cheer Roman Reigns. That didn't happen. So my question is, you had that moment. How do you follow up with it? And how does WWE follow up with it? And as you mentioned, we are sitting here kind of going, okay, we've had this moment now. We've had this thing happen. But we also have this Brock stuff in the background. Does that hurt the build to WrestleMania, where you kind of wonder if Brock's going to bail, and if Brock's going to no-show, or if Brock's going to show up and not want to play ball with certain things? How is this going to impact? Is Vince going to sandbag him before he goes to kind of hurt his value? Because we've seen Vince do that before. Guys on their way typically kind of have to eat crow.
Mm-hmm.
And how much crow does Brock eat? How does this impact a mind like Paul Heyman that you've got? How do you kind of retain him if Brock leaves? There's a lot of questions. This is the first road to WrestleMania where we know how the show's going to end. We know what's going to happen at the end of the night, but we don't know how this is going to look.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, too, is Dana didn't help stuff this week when he asked, I don't know what the radio show was, but was asked, is there a chance we're going to see Brock Lesnar back in the UFC? And he said, very, 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 very likely. A lot of varies in that.
Now, you got to also wonder if Dana's just stirring the pot.
I'm assuming as much, because it's Dana White, and that's what he likes to do, and him and Brock came close last time. I mean, last time this happened, and we were in this position a few years ago, I thought, and you thought, and everybody thought, okay, well, Brock obviously wants to go back and do MMA, he's gone. And it's like, okay, well, whatever. It was a fun ride, and it is what it is. And I think that was just before the Taker feud, if I'm not mistaken.
That was after the Taker feud.
It was after the Taker feud. It was before Roman Reigns.
Yeah, it was Roman. History repeats itself.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is we won't have a cash-in at the end of the night. Unless they're going to put the title on Carmella.
Yeah, this is true. So, I think Brock will stay. At least until Mania. I don't think he's going to do any tomfoolery with that. I would say the next step in this now, just as far as the wrestling said, is they're obviously trying to do some stuff to make Roman a face. The problem is, It got a great reaction online, but once he came back out for the dark match, he got booed again. And the one problem that's good with Roman, and the problem is, the good thing is, these shoot promo type of realistic things, who would have thought they work for him? The bad thing is, when he started doing that against Cena a lot, it started to kind of wear out and get a little too much. So I don't want him to come out next week and cut another shoot, brother. I want it just to be kind of a more to the point, I'm going to beat you at WrestleMania type of situation. And I'm going to prove my loyalty or something, but it doesn't need to be as much of a shoot.
I have a feeling that they think they've done well with this one. I have a feeling they're going to keep going with it.
I think you're right. I'm hoping that you're not, though.
Well, we'll certainly see. The biggest thing with all of this is, we've seen it, what they did with Braun, and how easy it was that they saw what they had with Braun Strowman, and they just turned Braun. It's nice, simple. Braun's a big babyface now. Yep. But you're stubborn with Roman, and I compare it to this. Roman Reigns' babyface is like a ship with holes in it, and the water's pouring in. And yeah, they may have found a little pump right now that got some of that water out with that promo, but they have enough holes in there, and I think people are stubborn enough, and people have this, especially wrestling fans, you and me included, have a mindset sometimes where we're just so dead set on something. Either this is our guy no matter what happens, Daniel Bryan, Finn Balor, AJ Styles, list could go on and on. And then there are other things where we're like, we hate this guy no matter what. Roman could have a Okada-like run in matches, and I think people would still hate him. People would not like Roman. So I think you've got a ship that has holes in it. I don't know how you're going to bail yourself out with one promo.
Especially when Brock Lesnar and Heyman come back out, and Heyman cuts the promo whenever he does. And it's just not going to work. It was good passion, and it was good to see that out of Roman, and I think that's what got us excited for fans. Like, okay, that was a really good promo from Roman Reigns, and you know, this feud that none of us were 100% on board with. I'm not as against this feud anymore, and it's the perfect, you know, this story has to be told. He had to face Brock again. We're all on board with it. You know, at this point, it's like, fine, this is what we're getting. So let's just make the best out of it. And chapter one, there's still 5 more chapters to be written. But chapter one was a good chapter.
Yeah. But that's usually how it starts is, hey, chapter one was really good, guys. I'm really excited. And then you get chapter two, and you're like, oh, it's okay. This will work. It's all good. They're still, like, they can rebound from this. And you get to chapters three and four, and you're like, but this is still good. This is still good. Vince can make it work. Vince won't do this to us. And then chapters 7, 8, 9 are just filled with tears and wondering how it went so wrong so quick.
I know. So we'll see how it goes. Brock is not back this week. He'll be back the following week in Detroit. So we'll see how all that goes. Right now, we're okay. But it's very interesting, especially Sue with Brock, that the rumor is after WrestleMania. And we can keep on hearing conflicting things with this contract. One day you hear his contract's done at WrestleMania, and the next day you hear his contract's done at SummerSlam. So we don't know exactly when the contract is done.
Yeah.
But the report is, again, that word has just been floating around this week, Joel. And Joel made the best point to me the other day. He said it once already. That Joel has said, like, sometimes a lot of wrestling fans just need to learn the first word in all these reports. And that report and that word is rumor.
Yeah.
Need to make sure that we stick to that word, because not listening to that word and then reporting it as it's a fact is what's putting a lot of people in trouble these last few days and jumping to conclusions.
I mean, like, we can jump into it. Like, the Rey Mysterio last night was a rumor that he was at SmackDown working on a contract and he would be facing
John Cena.
John Cena. That was a rumor that was out there and was reported by Sports Illustrated. And I was like, well, let's wait and see. And then this morning it was a fact until Dave Meltzer and was it Mike Johnson from Pro Wrestling Insider?
Yeah.
Said that. Hold on. And kind of backed us all back up. And we're like, oh, it was just a rumor. It's not true. This is the first time in a while that the waters are very muddy.
Like, even because social media now has, there's wrestling sources on Instagram that are good, that report stuff. And then there is other forms, like, you hear that Rey Mysterio one, it's Sports Illustrated. And yeah, there's rumors for trades and everything all the time, but those are trades. So you're assuming someone from a publication like Sports Illustrated is going to get it right.
Yeah.
And they don't. I mean, this week there was a report that it was confirmed that Bobby Lashley had signed. But Meltzer or no one has fully said it, but it's kind of just assumed at this point that Bobby Lashley has signed.
Yeah.
And that's where I was going with the other side of the rumors, and that's the rumor where Brock is going to go after Roman. And then it was reported this week that Seth's going to go after Roman, and then people are like, well, maybe Seth will go here. So it's that word has been ridiculous this week of people picking and choosing what is true and what is not true and just being like, oh, John Cena versus Rey Mysterio now. Okay, that's the match. That's what we're going with. Oh, John Cena pitched to have Seth Rollins win the Elimination Chamber was one that you and I had seen that we're like, this is just getting absurd with some of these things right now.
Yeah.
That are getting said, and then within 10 hours or so, they're getting debunked.
And then anyone that's reporting on it is like, well, we didn't know. And it's like, well, you kind of gotta, especially if you're going, like, I don't think either of us are saying we're bringing you the latest news in professional wrestling.
We're not. But when we cover it, we're more of recappers, right? We're recapping what happened the week.
We're more kind of recappers / reactionary.
And opinions, yeah. Reactor. And so when we come on and we're getting these, we want factual statements that we can not report on, but, you know, react on and give our opinions and then talk about it. And it's very hard, and I'm not trying to complain or anything like that, but it's when you go and you text, he's like, oh, that was really cool that Cena wanted Seth Rollins to win the Rumble. No, that's not the case. Oh, Cena and Ray. Joel, that's interesting. Okay, though, that's not the case. Oh, this Roman thing is reported now. It was 100% a shoot. Oh, that's not the case. Oh, it was never. Brock was never there. Well, Brock was in the script. This week has been a little crazier than normal for it.
You know, it really has. It's, I don't know if it's just a bad week or if it's because we're on the road to WrestleMania. Do you remember any other road to WrestleMania being like this?
No, not this bad, man. Like, there's always stuff that floats out there. It's just everybody now has something to say. and it's the Wild Wild West. And you know, there's certain NBA reporters, for me, for example, when I hear, let's say, Chris Bouchard say something, I take it with the sharpest grain of salt. But if I hear Adrian Wojnarowski report it, I'm taking it as fact every single time. And that's kind of what I'm going now with wrestling. Before, if I heard Mike Johnson say something or even Wade Keller, I'd be like, okay, they probably know what they're talking about. But now it's like, I don't care who you are, Ryan Satin, whoever, unless Dave is saying it or John Pollock is saying it, I'm not going to trust what you're saying because I don't know if you're doing the facts enough or you're just trying to get your newsletter to beat the Observer that week.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it seems like now, that someone's trying to be the next Observer.
Yeah, there's always that. And I think that's the thing. That's why, like, even Meltzer gets it wrong. Like, this is very tricky. This is like any other sport where you're going to hear stuff and you have to be careful until either ink dries or things are set or WWE.com can confirm or someone within the company confirms it comes out publicly. It's to the point now where we live in a world where it's information is at our fingertips, but also misinformation is at our fingertips. And it seems like more times than not, misinformation spreads quicker than information. That information eventually gets out there and corrected, but sometimes people's minds are made up. Like, Enzo Amore is guilty to a lot of people. He hasn't had his due process.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just because that information got out there.
Yeah, that's a very good point there. Is as soon as that report came out and he was fired, it's like, well, obviously he's guilty. And it's like, no, he wasn't fired because of the action to everything. And if it is true, horrible. The reason the company fired him is because he lied to them.
Yeah.
He lied to his employer about what was going on since October. He lied for almost half a year about what was going on.
And he was the crowning jewel of cruiserweights.
Yeah.
Not good. So now we're at a point now where we just, I think that's the message from this podcast, is just be careful out there. As wrestling fans, especially with the internet now, it's changed the game. It's brought a lot of really good things for us. Pro Wrestling Tees, New Japan World, things are at our fingertips now. You can support who you want, and not just WWE, but anyone across the board. And that's really cool. But you can also contribute by retweeting or passing along bad information on Reddit or going through and letting it spread like wildfire. And I think it's easy for ourselves to get caught up in rumors. Like, when this first broke, we were talking, Roman might be done. Like, I remember when Roman first got suspended, well, this has to be end of the push for Roman, so this means this guy's going to get pushed, and they can start booking Finn this way, or they can start booking AJ this way. And it's like, okay, put the brakes on. What's realistically going to happen with this?
Yeah.
Fantasy booking's a lot of fun, but I think that's part of the problem, where fantasy booking gets reported as fact.
Yeah.
And fantasy booking is a lot of fun to do, and armchair, booker, it's great. Most wrestling fans do it, where they're like, well, I would have done this and this and this way. I think sometimes you hear that and you're like, okay, This has to be true. There's no way that this can't be true because Meltzer said it or someone said this, so this has to be true. Or there's a misquote from the Observer or a misquote from somewhere that's posted online, and suddenly that's spreading like wildfire. And you're like, anytime someone, and I guess the easy way is, oh, well, Dave Meltzer said it. Well, where did Dave Meltzer say it?
Well, exactly. It's like there's a certain YouTube channel that you and I always make fun of. And there's always a CM Punk video on there, right? He's like, CM Punk's returning. And then he talks, he's like, you know, he could return. And he's never gives a source. And I'm not going to give that asshole a credit on his name at all. If people know who I'm talking about, they can laugh and say, like, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. And I think it's just very interesting now, too, because you're having someone like Ramona Shelburne, who is a phenomenal reporter for ESPN, and she's covering a lot of the Ronda stuff right now because she's been along with Ronda her entire career. So you're having a journalist that's worked for ESPN, that's covered the Lakers, covered the Clippers, now does stuff for the Rams out in L.A., is a legit journalist, covered the Kobe Bryant trial case, and now she's covering some WWE type of stuff. Michelle Beadle, great, great anchor, great reporter. She's covering WWE type of stuff. And I also think the case is, too, and we're going in circles, and I want to wrap this up, but this is a great discussion that you and I have had for a while, and I'm glad that we're getting to this point. But everyone now has a keyboard, a phone, and is trying to be the next Dave Meltzer and trying to get the scoop before him. And at the end of the day, there's a region why Bob McKenzie is one of the best hockey reporters in the world. There's a region why Adrian Wojnarowski is the best NBA reporter in the world. There's a reason why Adam Schefter is the best NFL reporter in the world. And there's a reason why Dave Meltzer is the wrestling reporter of the world, because all those names are the names that don't mess up often or at all when they report on their individual sports.
No, and that's a big thing. And I mean, you've said it multiple times to me, and it's true. Everyone has a podcast. Everyone has a podcast.
Is a new band.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of people that have a wrestling podcast. Some are good, some are fun, some are okay.
There's people that have wrestling podcasts that are a main publications, and it's embarrassing sometimes for some of them, because they are so obvious in bed with the WWE, and it affects the show.
Yeah.
And there's some people that just want to try to get the scoop, and it's embarrassing, instead of having an honest-to-God conversation about the product and what's realistic.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you get to this point where I think we have an okay podcast. I'm not going to sit there and say we're the best.
We're definitely not the best. We've been doing it for 5 years. It's fun. This is what brought together, in little inside, but this is what brought together a friendship, was talking about wrestling on a podcast. And we'll always do it, no matter what the downloads are, no matter what it is. But when you see people that have a higher platform and are just trying to get the scoop or be a troll, it becomes frustrating just as a fan overall. And as someone that would like to get a little further as being part of reporting on the sport of professional wrestling.
Well, it's not only that, but it's seeing high-profile publications that when they talk about wrestling, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Like the ideas and the thought and the pattern. And it's like, do you actually watch it? Or is this just a nice little hot topic that you can kind of jump on? Like, if this Brock and Roman thing becomes true, it's much like the Benoit. It's similar but different, but how many people went on Larry King or Nancy Grace? Was it Nancy Grace? I think it was Nancy Grace.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously it's without the tragedy of Benoit, but of them talking about drugs and wrestling, and it makes your wellness policy look like an absolute joke.
Yeah, and how many people are quick to, oh, they're just a bunch of steroid-using, cocaine-sniffing carnies.
And that's an image that they have done so good to get away. They're going into WrestleMania right now, where they have so much good publicity. They have this Andre the Giant documentary that's going to get a lot of publicity for them. They're tied to Bill Simmons, who's one of the more talked about journalists in the world right now. They have Ronda Rousey there right now, who's one of the highest profile athletes, not just in America, but in the world, and is drawing a lot of attention from the casual fan. This WrestleMania is going to be one of the most watched by the casual fan because of Ronda Rousey and because of rumors with Rob Gronkowski, and we'll see what happens with that. So they're at the highest peak right now that they've been in a long time as far as attention. The Rumble worked out good for them. They're getting a lot of good press and a lot of good pub, but all of a sudden, this can crash down on them. Whatever happens with Brock can crash down on them, and it could just be a very interesting thing on the other side. Losing John Cena to Hollywood is about to happen, and you see how much of a difference John Cena makes when he goes to SmackDown. I hate to say it. I love AJ Styles and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but John Cena made a big difference on SmackDown. Just his presence there made a difference in the company. So this steroid thing is going to be very interesting, because we saw what John Cena could do just by going to SmackDown. Well, what if blank wrestler is taken away from that? That's one of the top guys in SmackDown, and then you take another guy away from SmackDown. Then you take this guy away from Raw, or this girl away from SmackDown or Raw. And how much of a difference is that going to make very, very quickly?
Yeah. So, Josh, I just want to clarify what you're saying. You're saying it could all come crashing down, and it could
hurt inside. It could definitely hurt inside.
That was a lot.
And by the way, I will speculate. I will not speculate on anything, but I will say Braun Strowman did not do this because he spends his money on Chipotle and guns.
Well, I hope so. Like, he was sick.
So too.
He was sick there. I think he was down to 320 pounds Christmas time, and he's just kind of gotten back up to 380.
Braun would crush me. I don't want to speculate on names again, but Braun would crush me. But let's move on from this. Talk about more.
Here's something that we can transition into.
Sure.
There was a nice little reaction. The Pro Wrestling Sheet, Ryan Sentence Company, is reporting that Rey Mysterio is meeting with WWE next month to work out a deal that would hopefully see the former World Heavyweight Champion and WWE Champion return to the company. Mysterio is looking for a part-time deal that would be able to take outside projects, including wrestling. If finalized, his contract could be similar to that of Chris Jericho. Now, my question to you, obviously the impact of Rey Mysterio is huge for the company, especially when you're building up a legitimate 205 Live that has been some of the best wrestling WWE's been putting out in a while. I liked Drake Maverick's shot at Vince McMahon via, well, I guess you'd say Drake Maverick was Hunter's proxy for taking a shot at Vince. And how
I didn't
he was
hear
booking.
It. What did he say?
He basically said that all these guys were spent. He basically had a sit-down interview where he's like, all these guys were just so focused on being characters and gimmicky and showed like the pumpkin contest that they had where Mustafa Ali threw a pumpkin at Daivari and then Daivari getting sprayed with like white powder and Drew Gulak in the PowerPoint presentation, even though we all enjoyed the PowerPoint.
We did enjoy that. Like, we can't pretend that we didn't enjoy that.
Yes, that was fun. And he's like, they're legitimate athletes. That's what the focus is. And that's what we're going to keep giving you, is athletes.
Good. And that's what this should be. And I don't know if Ray necessarily goes to 205. I think it would definitely help. I don't think he faces John Cena. My guess would be this, is that I think he'll kind of split between Raw and 205 in the way that he'll be on Raw and he'll have singles, unlike some of the 205 wrestlers. He'll be on Raw, but he'll still have main event programs with other people. But eventually, I could even see him having a feud with a Roderick Strong or a Cedric Alexander as well.
Yeah, I think we may have found AJ's SummerSlam opponent.
Yeah, there's dream matches with Seth Rollins, with Finn Balor, AJ Styles. Obviously, when Ricochet comes up, they had some great matches in Lucha Underground, so they can have a feud together. It's a great sign, and he looked phenomenal at the Royal Rumble, and he was legit surprised, and everyone was happy to see him. Him facing Cena doesn't make sense. Cena facing Undertaker or Joe makes sense. We just don't know the status of Undertaker right now, and we definitely don't, unfortunately, know the status of Samoa Joe.
Yeah. I think the big thing for having a guy like Ray is that veteran presence that you can slip in part-time and have him do stuff. You could even have him show up and face Ricochet on a takeover. As a nice
That could be the takeover match at Mania, even.
That would be a very nice way to introduce Rey Mysterio and Ricochet to the main audience and give you an idea of who Ricochet is, who Rey Mysterio is, and I think Ray's a great guy to have. And I mean, you could even go back to the well and you could have a Rey Mysterio Kurt Angle match.
You could. We'll see what happens with Kurt. And we'll get into that in a second here. So Rey Mysterio, the other one was Bobby Lashley. You and I kind of had this talk off. I think bringing Bobby is going to be really good. It's just the positioning of where he goes, but he really improved in TNA. He got his mic skills up. He really found himself as a character. And it's just a great addition to have Bobby Lashley in that roster. I'm very excited to have him back with the WWE.
Yes. No, I agree.
So we're going to detour. Oh, go ahead.
Another rumor and preference, a rumor that apparently the reason that Finn had interrupted Seth was to kind of come off a little more dickish.
Right.
And the plan is for the club to join the dark side after Mania. What do you think of having that heel turn for them?
I like that, and I want them to get some, I guess they want to be Bullet Babes, some Balor Babes. I wouldn't mind if they took the girls from Absolution and maybe put them with them.
Wouldn't be a bad idea.
Because Paige can go with her stupid tattoo.
We won't talk about that. We'll just...
No, it was dumb. It was just dumb.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want, but this is the kind of... I'm not going to get into it. It was
no,
just dumb.
It's not worth it.
We're running out of time. It was dumb. Let's we'll come back to WWE and one of the biggest angles there going on. Let's go to New Japan. Interesting weekend for them, and I think it really all ended with the big news is that the Young Bucks are going to heavyweight.
They're eating burgers. They're gaining the weight. I think the real big news is the stress has finally gotten to Marty, and he's got gray hair.
Yeah.
But Young Bucks versus Golden Lovers at Strong Style Evolved. They could have easily done this at a show that needed a better gate. I guess you could say that. Though I'm excited to be able to watch that at a decent time and watch it live. I think that'll be a tremendous match that's been, what, 4 years in the making? 4 or 5 years in the making. They said when Kenny signed, one of the Bucks had tweeted out saying, okay, now we can have our dream match. Young Bucks versus Golden Lovers. And it never happened. Never happened. Now we have a chance. 4 years ago. This is going to be fun. This is going to be a lot of fun.
And that's going to be a nice card, too, because that'll be Rey Mysterio against Liger, and that'll probably, by the way it sounds right now, be his last independent match. I guess I don't know if Japan's an independent, but his last non-WWE match for quite some time. And I think that'll be, yeah, I think it's fair to say that after that Liger match, that'll be the last time he wrestles outside of WWE ever again. Because I would say this thing with WWE, unless you're going to tell me that he can do some independent bookings on the side,
reported by Pro Wrestling Sheets that was part of his.
Okay, because if that's the case, then cool. Because I was going to say, like, I could see him retiring as a WWE superstar.
I think ultimately that will be where he wrestles his last match, I think. Yeah. But that card's looking really good. The feud between Cody and Kenny continue as we get closer and closer to probably the biggest grudge match that will happen that weekend, because I don't think Ciampa and Gargano will happen there. This is big. Like, they built this up through a YouTube show that they shoot at themselves, and they're independent wrestlers.
It's pretty wild. And Kenny Omega was on a Twitch feed and pretty much confirmed with Kota Ibushi that he wouldn't go to WWE due to the lack of creative control. So we're going to put that to rest for now. If anything ever musters up again, we'll worry about that. But for now, I think Joel said it best in music. Well, that's the end of that chapter. Young Bucks, different story. Tease some stuff with Shawn Michaels this week. And, you know, they love their kids. They love their family. They want to come back home. So we'll see what happens with the Young Bucks. That's a year away. See what happens with that. But that card, Joel, you're right. It's going to be absolutely solid. And being the Elite this week also, we'll be talking about and reporting where All In is going to be. And that has a lot of us on pins and needles of where it's going to be. I'm saying it's Chicago. What about you, Joel?
I think it's Chicago. And, yeah. You know, you never know. They might need a savior to show up. Well,
they got to be drug-free, right?
Yeah. Burry the Bear has doesn't drink and doesn't smoke.
So, good week there with everything. And then finally, let's talk about the last two things. We'll end with the big angle. You talked about Seth Rollins there. Another great week for Seth. He's just continued to go up. Seth Rollins may be the wrestler of the year so far.
He's been really entertaining and a lot of fun.
He's been very good. It seems that, again, rumor is now that match is going to be Seth, Miz, Finn, Braun, and Elias. I guess if Joe was going to be healthy, that we'll find out in the next 2 weeks that he's either going to randomly face Cena or he's going to be put into that. But it's hard to say right now. Pollock had reported that sometimes with these, if they know about 4 weeks from now what they're going to do, and if they already know someone's not going to be healthy enough by then, and his injury was one of those injuries that was dicey and was so back and forth, unfortunately for Joe, he may miss his second WrestleMania in a row and still had not been on the card.
That sucks.
It does suck. Really good promo by Big E on SmackDown. It was very passionate. It wasn't silly. I think that was very much necessary from the New Day, because this pancake stuff, hasn't really clicked. And I think they needed a serious promo. And this Uso feud has been fantastic. I like the Usos talking about that they've never been on SmackDown. They should have said they've just been on the pre-shows, but I like where they're going with it. And they were my tag team of the year. They've been one of the best performers in the company. And it's very nice to see them building this New Day Uso feud, and I think a lot of us were like, oh, Uso's a New Day again, even though they had some of the best matches last year. It gets you excited for one more match coming into Fastlane.
Yeah, and they need that. They really need that.
And then we had the John Cena has now been added into the title match. We'll have to see what the opponent is now. All these different opponents are locked up, and I would have preferred the countout versus AJ. And I like the Nakamura route a little bit more, but whatever, he beats AJ. I'm assuming, Joel, that part of this is that he'll lose to AJ in the six-pack challenge.
Yeah.
And what did you think about Cena's inclusion and having the match versus AJ and maybe not doing Nakamura? It seems like Nakamura versus Rusev is what's going to happen at Fastlane now.
Yeah. I mean, you've added Big Match John. I guess that's just one of the things that they thought they needed for this. Whether it's John's ultimately going to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania, but I get what they're kind of doing with him, so cool. Let's just kind of keep rolling with it.
It adds to the Fastlane pay-per-view. Fastlane seems a lot more exciting, and SmackDown seems a lot more exciting. And apparently Daniel Bryan can just go home whenever he wants. Okay. Cool.
Well, he's going to be going home in September, and he might not be coming back, so...
That storyline's getting weird. And then the last and the biggest storyline continues, Ronda Rousey. So, we started off with a lot of pointing. That wasn't great. Night 2 at Elimination Chamber, better. And then Night 3 got even better, and Ronda showed a lot of improvement as she's had these three nights into the company. What have you thought about Ronda and the two dates that she had this week?
I think it's been good. I think Kurt Angle is a meme that will carry on for generations.
Yeah.
Poor Kurt. I think this is a nice build. You know, would I like to have someone other than the Authority get the Ronda Rousey rub? Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice. Is Stephanie in any way, shape, or form a legitimate threat to Ronda Rousey? No, not at all.
No.
No. Will Hunter and Kirk be somewhat fun? Yeah, it should be good. Hopefully Kurt's healthy. Double pneumonia. Gotta be careful.
Gotta be careful that double pneumonia, man.
It's an easy way to have Ronda Rousey be a babyface by having her murder Stephanie McMahon in the middle of the ring, so... This is a nice way to grab attention, and I guess you want to do media safe guys. Hunter and Stephanie are your two safe media guys.
You have the two Olympians. I'm sure Kurt maybe asked some questions in deeper media, maybe about some DOI stuff or something if they're dicks. But I can see them maybe asking that stuff. But he does have his whole rehab program and everything like that. So I think they'll mainly just focus on the Olympic side of things and being with Ronda and everything like that. So it's going to be a good match. Kurt has seemed re-engaged lately. He did not seem very interested. I don't know if interested. Yeah, I was going to say happy, but not interested in the GM role. And I think he would like just one last run wrestling, which I think we're going to start getting here now.
Yeah.
So. And, crazy week. I don't think we got the video, Joel, so...
Nope.
We will see how that goes. We're going to come in next week. We'll be previewing Fastlane, and then we'll really be able to see the shape of the Mania card and Asuka and Nia this week. Once again, yay.
We're getting closer to WrestleMania. I'm excited. That's my focus. I'm just focusing on that, and when Dolph Ziggler versus Nakamura happens for the WWE Championship, it'll be all cool. Cool, right?
You just like to be mean, don't you, Joel?
Well, when it happens and we all are sitting there like, so now where does everyone go? Where does AJ go? Oh, AJ's going to face Shane McMahon again. Shane needs to get his win back. That's where we're headed.
Apparently.
Get excited.
All right, well... Everyone, before Joel starts trolling us more, thanks for listening to One Fall. We'll be back next week with more big news. And until next time, cheers.
This podcast does not need any enhancement.
Enjoy the day, people.